Robinhood Radio presents Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willems. Michelle is a longtime journalist and herself is a published playwright of several theatrical works. She's a frequent contributor to the Huffington Post, Daily Beast, and the Atlantic websites.
Well, Broadway has gone from And Juliet, which is still a money-making success on Broadway, to Plus Juliet, which just opened at Circle in the Square. Now, I'm currently on the other coast, so I haven't seen it yet, but frankly, this one is likely not for my generation. It's a TikTok-ish version, so to speak. But hey, whatever gets younger generations into live theater, I'm all for it. I smile whenever I see those endless lines for Lion King, Harry Potter, and Aladdin. And of course, Romeo plus Juliet led to a little thing called West Side Story, which all ages know by now. In fact, the star in the Broadway show, Rachel Zegler, was Maria in the Spielberg version of West Side Story. Anyway, overall, this is likely not our mother's Shakespeare, but I wish them luck. And then there is one our mothers probably will recall, Death Becomes Her, this based on the film that starred Meryl Streep and Goldie Hawn. The cast here features, most importantly, Megan Hilty. The musical version of the wild comedy about places that jealousy may take you. This was a hit in Chicago. In fact, it was playing when I was there last year and was earning raves. Death Becomes Her is in previews now at the L'Enfantin Theater. Now, as for how Broadway is doing, well, I try to keep an eye on those grosses, as you know. Usually shows not making $1 million a week are kind of in the danger zone. The latest that just announced its upcoming closing is Back to the Future. That one kind of surprised me, as it was one of those family shows. It had been at the Winter Garden Theater. Opening there in March will be, well, a guy named George Clooney playing a guy named Edward R. Murrow. Yep. Good night and good luck, based on the film. Clooney also wrote the show, and it will be directed by David Cromer. Now, other shows that I'm keeping an eye on include, in terms of, you know, how they're doing and if their numbers hold up, are The Hills of California, Left on 10th with Juliana Margulies, and The Roommate with Mia Farrow and Patti LuPone. Also Yellowface, which I thoroughly enjoyed, but again, it's about, well, will the numbers hold up? Now, off-Broadway, meanwhile, if you're already missing Michael Douglas in his recent television role, you can catch Franklinland, which is now running at the Ensemble Studio Theater. This one finds Benjamin Franklin at a crossroads, balancing his life as a founding father of a young nation and floundering father to his young son. The show starts in 1752 when William is an eager young adult and ends with the men at odds in 1785. The result, they hope, is for droll humor to help the history lessons go down. Franklinland, by the way, also had its premiere in Chicago, which reminds us once again that plays often start elsewhere on their way to New York. Matthew Broderick stars in Babbitt, which premiered at the La Jolla Playhouse. Well, that's now in Washington, and I'm sure it has its eye on New York. It's based on the Sinclair Lewis novel. I'm currently in Los Angeles, where I just saw Being a Piaf at the always interesting Odyssey Theater. Now, this is, of course, about the late, great French chanteuse. La Vie en Rose, ring a bell? The show stars and is written by a woman named Eleanora Owen, part singing, part narrating her life. The 70-minute show is nice enough, if not exactly illuminating. Actually, the most memorable show I saw on the West Coast came from Musique, M-U-S-I-Q-U-E. That's a company created by Rachel Warby, one of the few and highly accomplished female conductors in the country. She's always accompanied by musicians, a full orchestra, and singers, and the revolving shows always have a theme, often about Los Angeles, but also about legendary musical creators. I saw one on Bob Dylan. I believe Carole King is coming up. This latest one that I just saw was called Indivisible, about the music enjoyed by Abraham Lincoln. Yep. Turns out Abe not only loved theater, and don't we wish he didn't, by the way, but opera and other music as well. All I can tell you is we were all standing and singing Glory, Glory, Hallelujah at the finale. This was powerful, historical, and somehow eerily resonant. And of course, there's London, where I just saw Face in the Crowd, as I've discussed, and that one hopes to keep moving, as do other film-to-stage projects. The latest being, yep, Dr. Strangelove. Now, this adaptation comes from Armando Iannucci. He's the man behind Veep on television, so we love him. In Stanley Kubrick's iconic movie, the Russian president, heard but never seen, is a drunk buffoon. In the stage show, he is portrayed as a killer able to reach enemies even inside the Pentagon, something that may resonate with West End audiences, as they've had some suspicious goings on there. Challenges for that project, Will, have reportedly included ensuring that the leading man has enough time to change outfits so he can play four roles, two of which are meant to be on stage at the same time. You may recall Peter Sellers played multiple roles on screen. And they have to work out how to include one, a scene in which an Air Force pilot waving a cowboy hat rides a nuclear bomb as it plummets to its target. Anyway, we will keep an eye on Dr. Strangelove. And then there are more television to stage projects as well. Smash, based on the NBC series, it's centered on the making of a show about Marilyn Monroe. Well, that will come to Broadway in the spring. The show begins performances at the Imperial Theater on March 11th, will be directed by the ubiquitous five-time Tony winner, Susan Stroman. Finally, I have been pondering the idea of visionaries. What or who qualifies? I wrote an article at one time about Dale Franzen. She had heard an unknown performer named Anais Mitchell singing in a small guitar store in Los Angeles. Franzen thought this could be something bigger than an album. Well, it became the Tony-winning Broadway show Hadestown, which is still selling out most shows. Bill Roach, who now runs the Performing Arts Center known as PAC, the complex at the World Trade Center, recently turned Andrew Lloyd Webber's Cats into the wild ballroom version named Jellicle Ball. It was such a hit that a Broadway move seems likely. The ultimate one here, of course, is Lin-Manuel Miranda, who picked up a hefty bio of a guy named Alexander Hamilton and envisioned a biracial rap musical. Now, there are many kids who now tell their history professors that the books have it wrong because they show George Washington as a white man. Well, you get the idea. Anyway, now Miranda has another project. He recalls that in 2009, a friend said to him, "Hey, how about Warriors, the musical?" Miranda thought about it, but he also thought it was a terrible idea. I wrote him back and said, "I love the Warriors, but it'll never work." Well, it seems the seed was planted, and Miranda said that after he had a moment to think, well, Warriors had taken over. I knew that I wanted to figure out how to make it work, he says. So it seems an album, for starters, is in the works. Anyway, speaking for myself, I will follow that man's visions anywhere. So that's it for this week. Not that anything else in this country is going on. Ha. So I'll see you at the theater, and hopefully I'll see you at the polls.
Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willens, produced in the studios of Robin Hood Radio, robinhoodradio.com.